Father, we thank you and praise you for this beautiful morning. The other wind is blowing, but it's a beautiful morning. In here, in this sanctuary, we have the joy of the Lord. We have your presence, Jesus. And there is nothing that can take that away from us. Nothing, nowhere, nowhere, no how. And I thank you, Father, that your Holy Spirit will guide me and direct me this morning. Will teach me the words that you want me to say. That is an exciting way to live. And as I read in your word today, that I've just taken a few moments in your presence to relax and to think of you at each moment of the day, whenever my mind is free to think of other things other than what my job is ahead of me. You give me direction. You show me what to do. You tell me the things that how to do certain things. And it amazes me every time you do. And so, Father, just today we should all give you praise and thanksgiving, because there is so much you do for us each week, each day, each morning. It's a new day. It's a new life. And we give you the praise and glory for all these things. In Jesus' name. Amen. We'll have some music and then we'll get into the message. While this music is going on, so many things are going through my mind of what the Lord is going to do with Israel. And after I get through with a few other topics and subjects I want to speak on, I have a list. There's the whole sermon right there. But it's going to be, I think you're going to find it interesting. Okay. Today I woke up after a good night's rest. I was amazed how well the Lord gave me a peace in my heart and showed me how to get a decent night's rest after waking up in the middle of the night for years. The middle of the night. Wake up 2, 3, can't go back to sleep. Went to see a doctor, and I told him, I said, I'm not taking any sleeping pills, but I need to do something. So he gave me a little suggestion. He says, when you wake up in the middle of the night and you can't get back to sleep, he says, take 2 Tylenols, extra strength. He says, it'll calm your heart, it'll calm your mind, it'll calm your body down. I thought, well, yeah, medication again. So I did it for 2 or 3 nights now. Man, do I sleep good. I mean, I am really out. It's good. And now when I wake up, I feel good. I feel excited. There's a lot of things that are going on, especially today. Of course, the whole country is all beside themselves about football games and going to their church or the NFL. They all have an excitement in their hearts, and they think, well, this is it, you know, this is going to be the greatest thing, and each one thinks that they're going to win. But there's only one winner in this world, and that's the Christian, the one who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has Jesus in his heart from morning till night and just praises him whenever they think about him. Just thank you, Jesus. In between little chores, in between, just when you're walking up the stairs going down the stairs to get something or doing something in the house, walking from room to room, thank you, Jesus. I'm alive in you. Praise you, Jesus. The worship of God is the one and only reason that you are alive. Think about it. Why are you born? Why are you on this earth? Hey, people, philosophers and psychiatrists and psychologists have all been thinking about that. They're always saying, well, why are we here? Why are you here? What's your purpose for being here? And God said, he told us, is to worship him and to walk with him in the humbleness of heart. And he'll guide you and take you through everything, no matter what it is. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways, trust him, believe in him, and he will direct your paths. There's no doubt in that. There's no doubt in that. It's the word right from God, the author and finisher of our faith. Right from Jesus. Jesus, you know, when you talk about the people that play football and the stars that are in the football game, basketball, baseball, the whole thing, all these stars fall from heaven. They all fall. Well, there's one that in baseball can't play baseball next year, the next season. Why? Because he trusted in something else other than him and his own abilities and his own God. But you see, Jesus is a bright and morning star. He is the one that you want to follow. He's the one that's going to give you direction and correction. He's going to teach you all the things that you need to know. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't trust in your own thinking. You'll not get anywhere with that. But Jesus is not a loser. Men will fail you. But I know that with one thing in mind, Jesus is always right there. You can trust him, and you can put your whole life in his hands, and you'll be okay. Trust in man, he's going to fail you. I've had that experience. Man will fail you. But he has a good way of teaching us. And he won't come down on you with 4 feet and 4 hands and his whole body just come right down on top of you with everything you got. Jesus was going to pick you up slowly, pick you up at every little corner, at every little speck, and every little you stumble, you trip. Okay, Jesus brushes you up. Come on, let's go. He'll take you through it. And I know when Bree and I were going through some rough times there. We call it rough because we've never been in that position before. But we sat at the table, the kitchen table. There was a nickel and a penny sitting on the table, and that was our sole source. Nothing. That was it. 6 cents. I've told this story before. And we've always been trusting the Lord. We gave our tithes, and that's another subject. We gave our tithes, and we gave offerings. And then as we were sitting there, I said, well, I don't know what we're going to do. We don't have the money for a mortgage. And we sat there wondering, what's the next step? And then a knock on the door. I went to the door, and there was a man standing there I knew. He says, the Lord told me to give you this. You know, I said, come on in. He's gone. He turned around and walked away. Got in his car and drove off. I thought, that's crazy. So I opened up the envelope, and there was a check, enough to pay the mortgage and to give a tithe. I don't know. It just... And at a time like that, you just... All you can do is just cry with joy, with a peace in your heart, knowing that Jesus took care of it. And it wasn't shortly after that I got some work to do, and it started paying pretty good. Now, as we talk about these things and how Jesus does all these things, you wonder, why do so many churches have so many divisions? I mean, why is there so much division in our country? It says to live in unity, but yet there is no unity when it comes to churches. So what is this unity? What are you talking about? The main purpose, the main thing in all the churches is Jesus. But what do they teach about him? How do they express Jesus' purpose in life and purpose for us? And a lot of times, I have found that when I was living back in Canada, when I went back home for a vacation one time, I went to the church I used to go to. I met a woman in the parking lot, and she says, "What is it that you have that the people in this church don't have?" I said, "I said myself, no, I don't know." And she says, "No, there's something." She says, "You have something else." She says, "In your walk with Jesus, what do you have?" I said, "Well, I haven't got the Holy Spirit." She says, "We all do." I says, "Well." I says, "What's your evidence?" And she says, "Oh, are you talking about?" I says, "Yeah, I'm talking about the evidence of speaking in tongues." She says, "Well, this church doesn't touch that. We don't talk about that." And I says, "Well, it says in the Bible that the Holy Spirit is for all those, and speaking in tongues is the evidence. It doesn't say it that way, but it says it's for those who are afar off. It was for the apostles and for today. Because it says it's also for those who are afar off. We are the ones that are far off from the early days of Christianity. So when I spoke to her, she says, "Well, how did you do that?" I said, "I just asked Jesus to give it to me." Then her husband walked up. And he was a little miffed at what I was talking to my wife. He could hear it from a distance. And he came over and he says, "That was for the apostles and nobody else." I said, "That's not true." I says, "The early Christians, the apostles laid their hands on the people and they received the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues." And I said, "It's for those who are far off." I says, "Read your Bible. Study your word. Study about the Holy Spirit and find out what it means. And don't listen to just what the preachers are telling you." So then I was wondering about that. And I was wondering, why is there such a division? And when you think about it, it comes from the beliefs of another man. There's a lot of passages in the Bible that will give people a certain vision in their minds. And they say, "Oh, this is what that means." But that's not what the preacher says. So that man gets up, starts going to study the Bible. He starts another church because he's going to change what the other preacher that he used to listen to, he's going to change it in his way. There's another division. Now, I was at first, when I was young, from the birth till I left Canada, I fell away from the Lord. I used to go to the Mennonite Church, and it was called the Mennonite Brethren Church. And it's the same thing as about the Southern Baptist, about the same kind of teaching. And they did not believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And that hurt me. That bothered me. After I had learned about Jesus myself, and after I learned, then I found out speaking in tongues is for everybody because it happened to me. I said, "If it happens to me, it can happen to anybody. Believe me." And this is where this division of churches comes from. And it's sad, but they're going to come together. The true believers, I'm talking about the true believers, not the ones that are practicing a type of Christianity. Okay, I'll be specific. The National Council of Churches, the Colorado Council of Churches, is a mixture of many churches, and each one brings their own thoughts into this council. And it is not for the blessings of the people. It is for control of the people. It is for control. And this is sad. I hear many other ministers on TV, radio. I listen to quite a bit of it. And I try to get some, and I ask the Lord to give me discernment of what is really going on. And he's given me some very deep convictions. Now, my belief system or my faith is a little bit different from Bill Backus, the pastor. It's a little different. He believes in the pre-trib rapture. I don't. Because there's evidence in the Bible that says no. He believes in certain things that I don't. But do I hold it against him? No. I know that man can change. Men will change. I changed. I changed from a different type of belief to a full gospel message. And that's why that's what I believe in, and that's what I teach about. And when I talk to other people, I teach what I believe. Bill does the same thing. He believes, and he teaches what he believes. Each one of you has a different aspect of the Bible. You all read the same chapter, and you'll get a different picture out of it. God gives you that gives you that ability. He gives you the ability to think. And we've got to do more thinking whenever we read the Word. Is this what it says? And then dig deeper and deeper. It's not going to be overnight. For me, there's a lot of things that I've learned that took a long time to get through to me. It was a different walk. Okay. Every time you change a different line of thought, every time you go to a new job or you're a new different situation in life, a different situation in life, that is a chapter in your life. Excuse me. That's a chapter. But as you're walking through that chapter, you'll have paragraphs of things that are happening in your life. That's the way it feels, isn't it? Now, this time last year, I was in the hospital with taking radiation, chemo. And that was a new chapter. I just said, okay, Lord, this is a new chapter. This is the way you want it. This is not the way you want it, but this is what I've got to go through. Don't leave my side. I'm not going to go through this without you. And then I just thought, okay, this is the road I have to take this year. This is what I'm going to walk. If it takes my life, it takes my life. If it changes my way of thinking, praise God. It'll be according to His Word. And I went through it. And I lost a lot of weight. I went from 175, 180, to 159. I mean, I dropped. And of course, I couldn't eat because I couldn't swallow. Anyways, this morning, I got out of bed. I said, okay, Maria, I got to weigh myself. I haven't done it for about a week. Stood on that scale, and I saw the numbers out, and I looked down, and I was a little bit shocked. 180 pounds. Praise God. You see, there you go. There's your healing. That's the healing. Now, the doctors gave me chemo. The doctors gave me radiation. They guided me and directed me and told me what I should do and how to do things, what I should eat, what I should drink. And believe me, you can only take so many drinks of an Ensure, and then you are filled. you can have only so much Ensure. I've still got one bottle of Ensure sitting in the refrigerator from last year. I look at it and I want to drink it. No, it just doesn't appeal to me anymore. It's amazing. So, anyways, I went through that. Now, the doctors helped. Yeah, the doctors gave me the radiation. They killed the tissue that was bad. The chemo killed the tissues that were bad and also bad in certain ways. And it's amazing. The chemo healed a lot of other things I didn't realize. Skin lesions and stuff like that. And they just left. They were gone. And praise God, you know, that's just a side effect. What do they call it, a side benefit? But you see, whenever you go through something like that, it's a chapter. It's a paragraph. It's a certain part of your life. You've got a long ways to go yet. And you know, eternity is a long ways. That's a long time. There is no end. And I'm looking forward to that. I have no fear. if the Lord wanted to take my life at that time, I said, I'm ready to go if you want me to. I just want to be with you. I don't want to do anything else. I want to be with you. But I said, make sure that there's nothing that Marie will be taken care of. And I thought, well, there's the children, Barry and Lori. I know that they love their mother with all their hearts. And they watch over everything. Because they even correct me. Well, did you let her do that? Did you do this? Did you know? And I thought, oh, man, you kids, get out of my ear. We're doing things that we have to do, and it's working. She's doing fine. She's coming around. She's gone through a lot. And it's the Lord doing the whole thing. But you see, I trust in the Holy Spirit. To get back to the Holy Spirit. I trust in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is my teacher. It's Jesus. Plain and simple, it is Jesus in me. That's what it is. His Spirit is in me. And I ask every one of you, pray for the ability to speak in tongues. Because there's times when you don't know what to pray or how to pray. There's going to be times when you're going to sit there and say, well, how do I pray about this? Let the tongues come out. Pray in your spiritual language. And boy, does it help. Because it calms you right down. It just puts oil on the rough waters. And it just calms everything down. And he's the anointing. He's the oil that calms the rough waters. And then you just sit there and you say, praise God. Praise you, Jesus. And before you know it, you're saying things. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. And he comes right in there and he calms everything down. Everything comes back to a level of sanity from the panic that you might feel in your life. So now, when you talk about these different things about receiving the Holy Spirit and doing these things, why is there so much division in the churches? It disturbs me. It bothers me. But I look forward to the day when the Holy Spirit will teach all churches that this is the way to go. Here is the way we want to. This is the way Jesus wants it. This is the way the Father wants it. And he wants his children to be in peace and in harmony. And the way things are going right now, in our country and in the world, not just our country, things are changing. Rapidly changing. And we're going to get into some details here just a little bit. There's a few things there I want to get off my chest. The one thing is that the division in the churches, we can go right back to Martin Luther, where the Reformation came along, and he says, I don't think that this is right, because man is to trust in the Lord, not in works, but it is in faith. Man shall live by faith. And this was his main theory of his thesis that he nailed to the church door. And I thought of this many times. And I thought, well, what did he do? What was it so different? Well, he says there are certain things that the church that he believes, the way he started, was of course now the Lutheran church. And Marie and I used to go to, we went to a Lutheran church a few times. And I wasn't impressed. I just didn't get anything there. There was nothing there that would draw me to the Lord. Not a thing. And then when we moved from Canada to the United States, we went to got into California, where she had some relatives that we went to live with for a couple of days until we found apartments and things like that. We found a house or an apartment, and we went to a church, and not one person said good morning or who are you or how are you or nothing. Not one. And I walked out of there and I said, Marie, I said, we're not going back to that one. I said, those people are dead. That's a sad thing to have to say about a church. It bothered me. So now, where do all these divisions come from? What are the things that we're learning in this church right now? As we study the Word, the Bible only, not any of man's information, not any of man's doctrines or decrees or isms or whatever. Read the Word and you can find out. Are you living according to what the Bible says? Now there's a lot of things in there that I'm not so sure that I follow. I'm not exactly the perfect man, believe me. Far from it. But yet, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, keeps me going down the right path. Trust in Him with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. So I started thinking about where do most of our teachings come from? Well, okay. Christmas and Easter. These are my two pet peeves. Christmas and Easter. Christmas, yes. The birth of Jesus Christ, absolutely. Without Him, none of us would be here. We'd all fall flat on our faces. If it wasn't for the Holy Spirit walking the earth, we'd be back into the days of Noah, which were pretty nasty. Okay, now why do I say Christmas and Easter? Well, the Christmas trappings, when you hear some of the songs that they sing for Christmas, as they call Christmas carols, they're a little bit off. There's a few things in there that don't quite make it. They don't divide how far it was from the wise man coming to see Jesus when he was about a year and a half to 2 years old. They didn't, all these things that they put it all in a lump in one lump sum. And the Magi weren't at the manger. Nowhere near it. They were there after. They showed up about a year after. Okay, that's enough of that. But it's the trappings. It's the decorations. That's bringing in Jeremiah, I believe it is, that it says that don't do as the heathens do, bring a tree into the house and decorating it. Oh, hallelujah. There's your Christmas tree story. So why do we do it? Tradition. Like old Zola 11, you know, tradition. Sit on the roof. Tradition. And people follow traditions without thinking. Is it right? Easter. When did Jesus die? What day did he die? Friday? Everybody says, yeah, Friday. No, it wasn't Friday. It was Wednesday, 6 o'clock in the afternoon, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's in the Word, John. Read the book of John. It says that there was a special Sabbath, and that was a feast of tabernacles coming up, right after Passover. And we're going to get into a little bit more of this later on with a different viewpoint. Okay. Jesus was betrayed on Passover. He was having a Passover meal with his disciples. Okay? That evening, before they went to the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus sent Judas Iscariot to do what he had to do, and do it in a hurry. He knew exactly what Judas was going to do, betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. So Jesus... they said, okay, show us who Jesus is, you know. We'll take the soldiers and you show the soldiers who he is. So he went up to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane and gave him a kiss of death. Is what it is. That was at close to midnight. They took him off into the Sanhedrin and the rest of the Jewish leaders, and then they went through the whole thing. The governor and all these guys that wanted to put Jesus to death on in the morning of Wednesday morning, he was flogged and he was put on the tree. That was about the ninth hour. And he hung on that tree from the ninth hour to the sixth hour, and that was on a Wednesday. That was a day of preparation for Thursday, because there was a special Sabbath. It's in the book of John. I don't want to get into it right now, but it's in the book of John, in the 19th chapter, I believe. See, that's why I'm saying, what are we believing? Why do we believe this? Because Jesus said, I will die, and I will be in the earth or dead for 3 days and three nights, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights. So it'll be with Jesus. And he was. Wednesday night, Thursday morning. Thursday night, Friday morning. Friday night, Saturday morning. He arose sometime after sundown Saturday. There's your 3 days, your three nights. Stop this nonsense of somebody, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, he arose. Baloney. Go with what the Jews believed what the Jews were doing at that time. But God said, the morning starts at 6 o'clock in the morning or at daybreak, and the day ends at sundown. That is your day. That's your 24 hours, not 12 to 12. Not from 12 midnight to 12 days, you know, and so on, as we have. Okay, enough of that. That's what I'm saying is there's division. And there shouldn't be this division. If we should just read the Word, study the Word, and you'll find out a lot of things. I could go on forever with this type of stuff, and I better not. But we've got to go according to what the Bible says. Do we take Jesus, the words of Jesus, to heart, and totally believe what he says? Now, what about the warnings of the signs in the heavens? Do we take that as a warning? You know, all through history, all through the Bible, the Jewish history, and the whole thing, the whole Bible is Jewish. Why do we discriminate against the Jews? No reason. We believe just a little further. We believe that Jesus is the Messiah, and they're looking for it. But that's okay. It'll still come about that when the Jews and the Christians will be as one man. And that time is coming when the days of persecution really hit. Now, there are signs in the heavens that are really quite significant. The history of the Jews has been God warning them to say, if you keep doing this, well, Deuteronomy 20th chapter, huh? If you do this, I will do that. I will reward you. If you don't do this, this is what you're going to get. And they have received many times over of what they didn't believe, what they didn't do. They've been paying for it. Praise God. There is so much to talk about on this subject. So much. I'm going to try and cut it down to a little bit here. Now, I've got a book here. It's called The Four Blood Moons. Have you heard of it?
Yeah, John Hagee.
That's it. Good for you. You've been listening? Have you heard? Did you hear the whole explanation of it, Josh? Okay. I'm going to try and capitulate, just do a quick overview of it. It's an amazing thing. It is really amazing. I'm going to read a few things about it out of the book. And this is one time when I really enjoyed something that John Hagee wrote. It's not the first time, but it really caught my attention. Now, if I can't cover this whole thing, this whole subject, in just one morning. So I want to just give it a brief overview. The four blood moons. First of all, what is a blood moon? A blood moon was described by the NASA people, of all people, An eclipse of the moon is very strange. When the sun puts the Earth's shadow on the moon, what happens is the Earth's atmosphere acts as a prism, and the only light that gets through is the red light. And as it shines, as it bends the light around the Earth onto the moon, it turns the moon red. It's called a blood moon. Now this is really something. There have been a few blood moons, but not in the last 500 years. Previous to, trying to think of the dates of some of these. I don't want to belabor this too long because my time is almost up here. But the four blood moons. There was a blood moon in 1492. Now, what does that mean to you, 1492? What does that date mean? Columbus discovered America. No, he didn't. He discovered the West Indies. That's okay. Let's not get into that. But, the blood moons are always involving the Jewish people, the Jewish nation, or the Jewish people. And that's why you have to be very careful of how you discern some of these things. So the blood moons in the past, 1492, 1493, after that blood moon, the Jews were discriminated against. In Spain, King Ferdinand, Queen Isabella, commanded that all Jews will become Christians, or get out of the country, or die. They will become Catholics. The Jews said no. Some left. Some died, and some went on to other places. In fact, there's a lot of Jews. There were a few Jews on the boats with Columbus. That's amazing. That's how they escaped out of Israel, out of Spain. They got the first boat out, you might say. Boy, they sure did. In Joel, second chapter of Joel, verse 31. It states here, I want to read that to you. Then the sun will be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the survivors whom the Lord calls. Man, that's in Jerusalem, that's in Israel. Now, what is it going to be for the blood moons that are coming up? There are a few more blood moons that were mentioned in this book. And I'm sorry to say that I didn't have a complete covering of it in my notes, but I'm going to have to read it out of the book. But I thank John Hagee for the study that he gave on this. He did a good job. Passover, April the 13th, 1949. The Feast of Tabernacles, October the 7th, 1949. Passover, April the 2nd, Passover, 1950. Feast of Tabernacles, September the 26th, 1950. Now, what do these blood moons mean? And what does this eclipse of the sun mean? Remember the Six-Day Wars, Israel becoming a nation, 1948. The blood moon showed that this is going to happen. So it took a little while for everybody to accept Israel as a nation. It's amazing. On Passover and the Feast of Tabernacles, only God could bring this about. So the blood moons will be a significant sign in the heavens for what he's going to do. Nobody else could orchestrate something like that. It's impossible. I mean, to have the star, the moon, and the sun, and the earth acting in a certain way for certain times at a certain point, who could do that? Nobody but God. Now, if that doesn't convince you that God is creator and the the beginning and the end of our lives, of the earth, I don't know what else is going to convince you. Okay, let's go to the next one. The next blood moon. Passover, April 24th, 1967. What happened in Israel in 1967? That was when the Arabs attacked Israel. Feast of Tabernacles, October the 18th, 1967. Passover, April 13th, 1968. Feast of Tabernacles, October the 6th, 1968. Each one of these, and in between those, on November the 2nd, there was a total solar eclipse. And these blood moons, each one of them, had something very significant for the Jewish people around the world or in Israel. But it's always the Jewish people. They are the brunt of everything that's going on, because they were supposed to do certain things for God, and they didn't do it, and they have this, and they haven't done something. And one of the big things was a Shemitah. What is a Shemitah? A Shemitah is the seventh year that you let the land rest. If you don't let the land rest as God ordained it, you will suffer the consequences. And they did. How long were they in Babylon? 70 years. It was because they didn't let the land rest. So God made it possible for that land to rest 70 years to take care of all the Shemitahs that they forgot. It's amazing. It's just amazing how all these things. But to get all the churches to really speak on this or to talk about this, it's impossible. They won't do it. The most important thing that they talk about is, of course, which is the most important, is your salvation. Okay, let's go a little further. There's other things that dates and things like that I could talk about here, but now, what is the future holding for us? What does the future hold? There's a blood moon coming up. Passover, April the 15th. And guess what? It's on a Tuesday. Which only proves that the Bible is true. It said that Jesus was betrayed on Tuesday night, Passover night. And he was killed on Wednesday. And he was in the earth 3 days and three nights. So Passover, April 15th. Then there's going to be another Passover, Feast of Tabernacles on October the 8th, 2014. That's this year, kids. That is this year. That's only a couple of months away. Just 4 months away. April the 15th. Now, what do we think is going to happen? Nobody knows what's going to happen. Nobody knows what God is going to do to the Jews in April. And how about the Feast of Tabernacles, October the 8th? Same year. Oh, by the way, April 15th just hit me. That's the tax day, isn't it? Sounds like it's going to hit all of us. They're going to take their blood out of you. The blood-sucking IRS. April the 15th, that's sort of cute. That's funny. Passover, April the 4th. April the 4th, 2015. And Feast of Tabernacles, September the 28th, 2015. All of them are blood moons. And something usually happens when it's that close in that set time. And there's going to be a total solar eclipse March the 30th, 2015. What's going to happen in those days? We don't know. Nobody knows. Only God knows. But one thing you've got to keep in mind, please, stay close to Jesus. Walk with him every minute of the day. When we hit 2015, April the 15th, besides paying off your taxes and whatever is going to happen, the blood moons are coming. In Matthew, Jesus referred to the blood moons. There will be signs in the stars in the heavens. The moon will turn to blood and the sun will not give its light. There's a reason for it. It's a sign for us as Christians to know that Jesus is the leading Lord of our life. Only Jesus can protect us. I was talking to Bill one day. Bill Friends. I talked to him about some of the things that are coming from that Fukushima plant. The radiation from that plant is, they will, okay, I'll give you a few minutes on this one. When that Fukushima plant in Japan blew up, a week before that they, after it blew up, a week before it blew, Japan said that something against Israel, totally against Israel, totally against the word. And that thing blew up, and they said, oh, that's just a coincidence. That's no coincidence. There's a lot of things that every nation, including the United States, that said something against Israel has paid for it. The perfect storm, that same day Elder George Bush spoke, he said that we will do this and this against Israel. We're going to change this. We're going to change that. Boom, came up the perfect storm. If he hadn't said it, there would have been a lot of different changes in the Earth's atmosphere. And people say, well, that's just nature. You can't control nature by that just because of word. God controls nature, and God will do the retribution. Bill and I have talked about that. Anyways, we talked about as Bill and I were talking about the Fukushima thing, there is a radiation that is coming to the United States, and it's coming very close. And you're going to see, they said that this is physicists talking. I'm not a physicist, but that's what I heard. they said that the currents of the earth in the water and in the air, the pollution is coming down towards the United States and Canada. And it'll go across the northern part of the United States and the southern part of Canada. And the radiation is going to cause a lot of destruction, especially to the people and animals. Now, and then with Bill's insight and his, he says, you know, that's strange. He says, Psalm 91 is going to come into effect. 1,000 will fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but the pestilence will not come near you. And I thought, very good, Bill. That is the answer. There's our answer for that problem. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. No matter what is going on in your life, you will find that He has you as His sons and daughters. He has you in His heart, and He's not going to let you go in any way, shape, or form. He will always be with you. He's right in you. Jesus is inside of you, and He knows exactly what your thoughts are because the Holy Spirit shows Him. He's right there. How can you think that you can run away from Jesus when He's inside of you? You can't hide from God. Trust in the Lord. Believe what He says to you. Give Him your full adoration and worship. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the blessing that you give us today. Thank you for the teaching that you've given me that I could give it to others. And Father, there is so much more to thank you for. We don't even know that many times in situations where we could have been harmed that you have saved us. And we don't even know it. We can thank you for all the blessings that you give us, Lord. Our daily bread, the food that we eat, the air that we breathe, the place that we sleep, the friends that we have. And yes, Father, the greatest thing that we can invest in is people. Money, food, all these things will be gone. They'll be taken from us. But the one thing that will not be taken from us, Lord, is you and the people that we love. It's something to think about, Lord. Thank you for that thought. So as we go on our way this week, Lord, we ask that you would be with your people. Give them their daily bread, Father. Walk with them. Keep them out of danger. Protect them. Bless them with your Holy Spirit. Bless them with your presence and and to keep you in mind at all times. We ask you, Lord, to sanctify the food that we eat. Nourish us and strengthen us through it. And as we read your word, Lord, that is a bread that will never cause hunger. It will only feed us. It will strengthen us and direct our paths. As we walk in your ways, Lord, we praise you and thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done. And it's in your name that we pray to the Father. Amen.
Yes, Heavenly Father, we rejoice and we thank you for this word that you gave us today to open our eyes, to be aware of what's going on in the world today. And we also thank you for the food that you're going to give us for our physical bodies at the end of the service here, Heavenly Father. And we also want to lift up Bill, our pastor, to you, Heavenly Father, for you to give him the wisdom that he needs to know on how to overcome what's attacking him at this time, Heavenly Father. We know that he's healed, just like all of us are healed, because Jesus paid the price. And that's what we believe, and that's what we confess with our mouths, Heavenly Father. We ask you to bless each and every one that's here today, and we ask you to bless this offering that we're about to receive. In Jesus' most precious name we pray, amen.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you. One thing I wanted to add on to this giving. Now, those who can afford to tithe, I want you to think about something. Tithing is returning to the Lord what is his. Giving is over and above the tithe. I heard about that the other day, and I thought, whoa. I never thought of it that way.